Glenn, did the Leafs really put in as much of a no-show as I thought they did?
Well, I think they started the game pretty well. It was the timing of that late goal in the first period with 2 seconds left that really changed the tide of the game. In the second period, the momentum was all in Winnipeg's favor. You know, you recall that shift in the second period where it's actually the fourth line of Winnipeg absolutely dominated for about a minute and 45. And the Leafs, at that point, it was paralysis. It was puck hypnosis. It was, where did our structure and our game go? I mentioned it during the broadcast. It was a game of shinny. The only thing missing was we didn't put the sticks at center ice and throw them to one side or the other. It just was a game where, you know, the Leafs had to first stop the momentum and then get it back, and they never could.
You know, Glenn, this team is guilty an awful lot. It's guilty of a lot of things, but it's really guilty of puck watching in its own end a lot of the time. What causes that? I mean, I know if there was a cure-all for it, I'm sure you would have bottled it by now and sold it. And God, you could have sold it every year to the Leafs for the most part. But
yeah, and Al Arbour used to talk about this all the time, is the hypnotic effect of the puck, how you just chase it, how everybody watches it, and it's like a school of fish chasing it around. It to me, it's structure in the Leaf game. There's no question that defensively you don't have the structure you need, and you don't have the personnel you need. The combination of the two are fatal. You've got to have better players. If you're going to make the playoffs in the East, this team's not good enough. And anybody who stands in front of a pulpit and says, it was just that 13 days that cost us the season, they're wearing rose-colored glasses. It's not good enough. You can't have Jonathan Bernier have 40-plus shots 13 times this season. And they did it again with Reimer on Saturday. It's not the recipe for success if you're to win in this league. You can hope that maybe we make the playoffs. Hopefully we make it. That's a thought. You need more than a thought. And their team just structurally isn't good enough. And from a player-by-player standpoint, they've got a ways to go.
Glenn, is this a quick fix? Is this something that can be done in one-off season?
No. No, I don't believe that you're going to go out and find Shea Weber playing defense for you, and that there you go. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
We've corrected it. You know, you probably have 35% of your team that is contractually up. You know, you listen to the talk stations, and you know, it's okay. Mason Raymond played for $1 million. He's going to want 3-5. Then go get it somewhere else, because you played 1 month. You know, James Reimer. October was great for James. He had a save percentage of about .950, a goals against a 1.9. Every single month after that, he was over 3, and two of the months over 4 with a goals against. What's he worth? Go get it somewhere else. There's going to have to be some radical changes to the group.
Do you like the core of this group? I know we've talked about this in the past. And for argument's sake, let's identify the core as...
Change it, though, Jeff. I don't like the core. No, that's
okay.
My answer.
All right.
I don't like Dion Phaneuf as my captain, and I don't like Phil Kessel as my go-to guy. I like he's one of those players that can bring fans to the edge of their seat every time he gets the puck. He is an exciting player. He can score goals, no question in my mind. Is he Marc Messier? Is he that kind of go-to guy? No. Now, there's only one Marc Messier, but, you know, when I look at Jonathan Toews, when I look at Anze Kopitar, you know, just go down the list. I'd rather have a Bergeron than a Phil Kessel.
Let me ask you this. Is there anybody on this team right now you see turning into the go-to guy?
No. And the guy I think they want to put the kind of range to is Nazem Kadri, who's supposed to have this breakout year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just looked at the one play on Saturday night that typified his year where he tried to draw a penalty, took a dive, and the referees all know this guy is the biggest phony there is when it comes to drawing penalties. Didn't call the penalty. It's a bad change. It led to a 3-on-2, and Carlisle let him know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of play you don't need. You need that kind of hard whistle-to-whistle. I'm going to compete. I'm going to drive you into the ground and show you that I want this. The will to win is greater in me. And that, to a man, was not there on Saturday night. Again, another Saturday. Go through the tape. If Kuhlman's name is mentioned once, then I'll eat my hat. Where has he been?
Yeah.
We're talking about re-signing him? Not a chance.
Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So, if we operate under the assumption that I think what you're saying, Glenn, is that this team at the end of the year, if it does an honest analysis, if this management group, ownership, whatever, if they do an honest analysis of this team, they are going to come up with they're going to come to the conclusion that they're a lot farther away than they thought they were a month ago, right? Or even in the middle of that 8-game losing streak, they're going to come to the conclusion they're a lot farther away if they're honest, aren't they?
Yeah, there's two schools of thought. One is you look at the 13 days and you say that was it. It was just the Bernier injury and the 13 days that cost the season. But I think if you pull back more layers of the onion, you're going to say that we give up too many shots. We have players that are playing out of sort that, you know, yeah, we like having Tim Gleason, but having him play in the number 5 hole versus the number 3 hole would be better. You know, are you looking at Gunnarsson and Phaneuf and saying what a shutdown tandem they are? I don't think you're saying that honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you want to play Paul Ranger 15 to 20 minutes a game. I think you like Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner and the progression that they've had. But when, you know, two games before the ago and you play a Troy Bodie 20 minutes, that can't be your answer. Jerry D'Amigo can't be your answer. Fourth line that doesn't play, a Mason Raymond that had a good month, Jay McClement, wonderful face-off guy, kills penalties. You have to have some depth in your scoring. Kuhlman, Kadri, you know, go down the list. Which guy are you going to give an A-plus to? Maybe the only guy you're going to give an A-plus to is Phil Kessel.
Right.
The rest, you got to see improvement. And if it's not them, it's someone's got to come in and wear that sweater and wear it with pride.
Seems to me that one of the issues with this team, you talked about having the will to win. And I think, to me anyhow, it's become apparent in the last month that, you know, I'm one of these people, I've banged on about how it was pointless to have Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren around and, you know, how they're sort of, they don't fit into the NHL now. But I've also come to the conclusion, Glenn, that this is a really soft team. Like, there's no in-between, is there? You've got the guys who are tough and can't play worth a lick, and you've got a bunch of guys who are, some of them are pretty good players, but they're just not tough enough.
Well, you know, and then statistically, that just doesn't lay out.
Yeah.
Because from a hit standpoint, they're one of the leaders in the NHL. But I think, you know, and it has been said many times on your station, you know, when you talk to other players around the league, the one thing that they do mention is that the Leafs are easy to play against.
Mm-hmm.
And that when they get in their own zone, it is like a game of shinny, that the structure's not in their game. And, you know, when I look at their team, it, you know, it's the timing of some of the goals that sends this team into a tailspin. You know, they are in games like the Winnipeg game on Saturday, and then there's the goal that, you know, late in the first period, game over. That can't be enough to have game over. You know, they play Detroit where the tailspin started. It's 2-1. Kadri kicks the puck in the net. You know the Leafs are coming. A crappy goal by Alfredson, 3-1, game over. They play Montreal. It's 1-0. They're at home. They are coming. Hit and post. Carey Price is putting up a game. And Rene Bork, who's a scratch most of the year, comes down and scores a lousy goal. You'd think it's game over. They fight back, and then Plekanec scores a horrible goal in the third period. So these are the timing of goals that just absolutely cripple your team, and that's what the Leafs weren't able to rebound from at certain times.
Glenn, you're down between the benches. What's that bench like?
Well, you know, on Saturday, for instance, there was a point where, you know, to my right, the message was, we have enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
Just play well without the puck. That was the clear message from Paul Maurice and that entire team, and they were buying in. There's no 3-on-2s. There's no 2-on-1s. There's no breakaways that Pavlik had to make saves on. They had enough to win. And then to my left, you look, and that team knew that they weren't going to get enough to win. Mm. It was a downtrodden bench. Faces were down. And you could just tell that there's that point in the game or the season when, you know, the other team has taken that will to compete away. And that's exactly what Winnipeg did on Saturday. And I think, you know, when you start looking at the scoreboard watching and you realize, you know, teams are winning around you, you know that the season's lost.
When do you think this season went south?
I would say, you know, again, with my rose-colored glasses,
yeah,
when Bernier went down.
Mm-hmm.
That point there, that was your go-to guy. That was your guy who made 40-plus saves 13 times during the year. And when you handed the reins to Reimer, you can't ask your team to score five and win. You can't give up two bad goals in a game and expect to win. And Bernier wasn't doing it, and Bernier was the guy who, you know, gave you a chance every night. When he went down, then all of a sudden you start losing faith in your structure. One bad goal leads to two. Then you start to question whether you're playing the right way. But that to me was probably, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Bernier was healthy and was playing all the way through, because literally 3 weeks ago, this team had a 90% chance of making the playoffs, and now they're at 9.
Hey, Glenn, before we let you go, I do want to ask you about Paul Maurice. There was an interesting comment from Andrew Ladd before the game against the Leafs. But the question was put to him about the Jets, like to see Paul Maurice back as head coach. And he was pretty effusive in his praise of just how things have run and how practices have run. And I mean, I think we know where the Jets are. This is clearly, there's a lot of work to do with this team. This isn't the type of season they wanted. Do you think Paul Maurice is the guy for that team, though?
Well, when you look at the Jets, you know, they had Craig Ramsey, then they had John Anderson, then they had Claude Noel. Have they had a good coach other than him? He comes in, he gives them structure. Look what he does Saturday night. He takes a 20-goal scorer in Evander Kane and sits him out on Hockey Night in Canada on a Saturday in Toronto. You think that shows the rest of the group that you better be accountable if you're going to play on my hockey team? Which Leaf was sat out for any of their, you know, kind of poor play through this season purposefully? Not many.
Not many.
They maybe missed a shift, but there was no Nazem Kadri. There was no person sitting in the press box by the name of, you know, David Clarkson. Did he deserve at any point to sit out this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, they like Maurice. He brings structure to their game, and he's a guy who is all about detail. And, you know, we talked in a funny way with him just about his time with the Leafs. And when he got fired with the Leafs, everything was going wrong. You know, you had your instance with Jason Blake and the cancer. You had the Muskoka Five. You know, you had I can't even think of his name, taking pictures of his junk and putting it on the internet.
Oh, it's Listy, yeah.
It was, everything was going wrong, and he was fired. But, you know, he's got it going now, and he's a commodity that a lot of teams will want. If he doesn't want to go back to Winnipeg, he'll land a job somewhere in the NHL because he's a real good coach.
This isn't the return of the Muskoka Five this year, is it?
No, that was a much different time. They all have their cottages now. They're all there.